While Washington and the media are preoccupied with the Comey hearings, what else is going on that we're not hearing about or ought to be paying closer attention to? Nick Burns was the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs under George W. Bush, and he's now a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School. Nick, can we start with North Korea? Because for a few days, and it wasn't so long ago, people were casually worried about World War III. Then last week, I read about U.S. tests, an interceptor missile to see if it could blow a dummy North Korean missile out of the sky. The Pentagon said it worked. But then worrying news this morning about more missile tests coming from North Korea, even coming close to an American aircraft carrier. What's going on?
Well, North Korea remains one of the most important national security concerns for the United States. Here you have a 33-year-old leader who has nuclear weapons. He's firing missiles, testing missiles against Japan and South Korea. He is irresponsible, and we haven't figured out a way to push him back.
Obama had warned Trump that North Korea would be his biggest foreign policy challenge. Of all the many challenges Trump faces right now, do you think it still is number one?
I think it's number one because South Korea and Japan are treaty allies of the United States. We would be obligated to defend them should either of them be drawn into a conflict, a war with North Korea. Also vital because within 3 to 5 years, most experts believe that North Korea will have an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead on it capable of reaching the west coast of the United States. That's an unacceptable threat to the United States.
Let's talk about the U.S.-led airstrikes in Raqqa and Mosul. Trump is following through on a campaign promise to bomb the hell out of ISIS. Those were his words. But there has been a spike in civilian deaths. What do you think is going to be the political cost to Trump down the road because of this?
Well, frankly, I think that President Trump has done the right thing here to support the U.S. military's judgment that we have to be assisting the Iraqis in a big way in pushing the Islamic State out of Mosul, and that we ought to be assisting NR, the Syrian Kurds and Syrian Sunni groups, the democratic groups in Syria, that have begun the push against the Islamic State capital in Raqqa this week. It's very important that we defeat the Islamic State in both of those countries. But there are reports, consistent reports, and admissions by the U.S. government of civilian casualties. So great care has to be taken in how we exercise this fight.
And do you think all this suggests that Trump is focused on ISIS anyway?
He appears to be, if you look at his public pronouncements, what he emphasized in his trip to Europe as well as Saudi Arabia, he was very much focused on the fight against the Islamic State. The problem is he has not been at all effective in enlisting European support because he's alienated the Europeans by his refusal to reaffirm America's commitment in NATO to the Collective Defense Pledge, all for one and one for all under Article 5.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Nick, because Secretary of Defense James Mattis has been touring Asia, Europe, and the Middle East, trying to reach out to allies, trying to reassure them, even at times saying things that are at odds with what the president is doing and saying. How are our allies responding to Mattis's outreach?
Well, you can imagine this is a very unusual situation. I served in every administration from Jimmy Carter on to George W. Bush. And the president acts on behalf of the country, speaks on behalf of the country. It's very rare to have a cabinet officer or an ambassador have to correct the president. We've seen many examples of that this week. There was the very unwise, intemperate, I thought brutal criticism, unwarranted by President Trump, of the mayor of London in the immediate wake of the terrorist attacks. And you saw our very courageous American diplomat, our chargé d'affaires in London, come out on Twitter to defend the mayor of London, because what the president said, of course, alienated the British public. And so he needs to be more disciplined. He needs to treat our allies with open respect. I found out as a diplomat, of course you're going to argue with your allies. You're going to differ with them. But it's best to do that privately and to show public support, especially to our Democratic allies, those who are true Democrats like Angela Merkel in Germany and Theresa May in the United Kingdom. But the president hasn't done that. And it's been a real problem with the NATO allies. And that's taken away from his effort to convince them to come front and center into the battle against the Islamic State.
Barack Obama is also traveling around the world, meeting with foreign leaders, almost acting like a shadow president, or at least an example of a former president many countries are nostalgic for. What do you make of all that?
You know, I think President Obama, he has a right to travel. He formed a close friendship with Angela Merkel, so he was in Berlin. He formed a close friendship with Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, and you saw them have dinner together at Montreal the other night. He has a right to do that. I think he's been quite restrained. The rule is you don't want to make life difficult for your successor. President Obama has not been commenting on everything that Donald Trump has been doing. So I think he's acted honorably, as George W. Bush did when he didn't criticize at all President Obama during his 8 years in office.
Nick, we watched the Comey hearings in a packed room on the Hill, senators, lawmakers, their aides. Meantime, in other buildings around Washington, Trump still has lots of vacancies to fill. We've spoken about this before. How are those vacancies affecting foreign policy?
I think in a major way. We've never had a government post-Second World War where by early June, the major leadership positions are unfilled. The Trump administration has not even identified any of the undersecretaries of state, the 20 or so assistant secretaries of state. These are the leadership teams. I think it's a concerted effort by people like Steve Bannon to diminish the size and power of the federal government. It's extremely unwise. We need a powerful government to act in the world. And so I think this is something that needs to be corrected on a cabinet by cabinet agency, but the direction has to come from President Trump. And he has said he does not intend to fill these positions, so that he's made ghost ships of our federal government. And I can tell you that many of the people are patriotic civil servants, believe that they're disconnected from the White House, that the White House is not listening to them. This cannot be the answer. We have the most inexperienced president and cabinet in recent American history. They should want to be reaching out to our very patriotic, dependable, loyal career civil servants who are not partisan, who will gladly work for the Trump administration, but they're not being listened to.
So for people who work at the State Department in foreign policy day in, day out, will it be difficult to focus now?
Our career people have to focus, because while Washington may be completely focused on the political crisis of President Trump's leadership and whether or not he obstructed justice, we have an entire government to run. We have a nation to defend. We have an incredibly complex set of challenges to meet overseas. And so you can be sure, Marco, that our military and our career civilians, they will focus on these problems, but they need good leadership from the White House.
Nick Burns, former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs under George W. Bush. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, Marco.